Okay, so it is February 6, 2024. It's 2:14. We're visiting with Jason Merkulioff, and we have Garrett Pletnikoff and myself, Aquilina Lesnikoff, here. May we record you? May we
There.
record? Okay. So, yeah, thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it. As I mentioned, these stories hopefully inspire the next generation to be our storytellers of our story. So if we could maybe start with you giving a little bit about what your name, if you had nicknames, your little bit about your family, like your parents and such, where you were born, that type
I
of
don't have a
info.
nickname. Everybody just call me Jason. Yeah, I'm born in St. George. Peter and Sarah Merkulioff, my parents.
Okay, and then your brothers, your family.
Yeah, I had a big family. Grew up with a big family. Seven boys and four girls.
And where were you in the mix?
Pretty much bottom half.
Oh, okay.
Beginning, top, bottom half.
Did you pretty much live in the same house? You grew up and lived in the same house before you left St. George?
No, we lived across the street from that house they're in from now. It's a fire station now, but we used to live in that one. In early 60s, we moved across to get into a bigger house. That's why they switched us over. I think I was like 2, 3 years old at that time.
Oh, wow. And what are your brothers' and sisters' names?
Must you know? Tony, the oldest one. My sister Betty's the oldest sister. And then there's Teresa, Richie, Jerry, James, me, June, Judy, Jeffrey, and Charlie, in that order.
And is Teresa the only one that had a nickname?
Uploon, yeah. Or, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I wonder how she got it.
I don't even know. I could not tell you
I have to ask her.
that.
Well, lots of folks living on St. George back then, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think back then, it's a little over 240, back in the 60s and early 70s.
There were summertime transients would come up from the Aleutians and work at processing plants, I'm sure.
Yeah. Actually, from all over the state. I even met some Eskimos that came from Barrow, Uktiavik, and did work in a plant over there. So there were people from all over the state doing it, summer job.
It's good money, I'm sure.
And it's a little bit better than the regular labor. Just like when I started at age 16, instead of staying over there, I came over here because the sealing operation shut down in St. George. So they gave us a choice: stay there and work as regular labor, or come up here as a sealer. So you get a little bit of pay as a sealer. So I came.
And 16 was the starting age
Yeah.
to be able to do that.
And
Where did you stay?
they put us in the Alaska dorm. Government feed us and housed us.
How
So
many of you were, or
I
who all
think
came?
like 18 of us came over. And then we all stayed down there.
Is that 1976,
Yeah, that's when
70?
I, my first year, 76. We're still under St. George summer program grant when we came up here. Just done it every year. 6 years I worked for federal because, like I said, it was better here than over there for work. Got involved with the sealing. And right away, that first year, they put me in blubber. I was kind of shocked. Young kid in blubber.
Got buff by the end of the summer.
Was it like here, the locals would be the sealers, and then the people that weren't locals to the communities would have to be the blubbers
Most
too?
of them
Yeah,
were,
it was like that over there too.
yeah. Yeah.
On St. George.
Yeah, I had like 20 guys blubbering at once.
Did you ever blubber on St. George?
No. It was, I only, too young and I only watched it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they shut down.
Yeah. That's right. So 1975, was that about the last? 74? When was the last ceiling over there? 73?
Maybe 72.
Okay. So the few years without ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about kids? You have kids.
Yeah, I got two kids. Both living in Fairbanks right now. Yeah. Brandy graduated from Fairbanks and now she's working for Elliott Federal.
Mm.
So she could do that online.
Mm.
Mm. And then Casper's doing his second year of college.
Mm. Is he studying, is he majoring in something?
He was doing computer science.
Okay.
So that's even harder.
Second year.
I keep telling him, it's getting too expensive. Get out and go online and do it.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same, you know, but a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Get the same education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you were like, when you were growing up on St. George, how was, did you have like chores and responsibilities and with the big family?
Yeah. Yep. Most of it was either garbage or getting water.
Oh,
over
yeah.
Over there, we had to get water from the hospital, distilled water, because the water coming into the houses was too salty.
It would be used for, like, washing?
Washing.
Showers?
Yeah.
Salty showers?
Cooking and drinking. We fill up gallon jugs of water. And that, as a kid, that's how we made spending money, too, help people carry, take their water, get the water for them from the hospital.
Yeah. Nice. Nice way to, not nice they have to haul water, but nice for kids to have a way to earn some money. Do you remember the like meal times when you all had got together and had meals together, your family? You have subsistence food or food from the store? How, what did that all look like?
I don't know. Yeah, we all get together supper time mostly. Yeah, a lot of subsistence I grew up with.
Mm.
And then mid-70s, more store seemed like.
Yeah.
It started changing.
What, you remember the canteen years over on St. George?
Yeah.
What was the separation between store and canteen?
Canteen seemed like they sell more fast food, candies, and the store sell more, you know, regular dinner food. Fresher stuff. Canteen didn't do that.
And store only sold food.
Yeah, and then canteen was selling little other clothing items also, besides.
When you say that, I can remember what it smelled like going in that canteen.
Jeez,
over there.
Well, I don't.
It's funny.
I remember the canteen here too.
Yeah. So you came over when you were, before you were 16, you had been over here.
I've been over here lots of times as a kid growing up because my parents always come over when Purple Wolf was running. They always run people and they would stay for the summer for like month and a half at a time. So people go back and forth. So I used to come over once with my mom and next year my dad. So they always come over and visit. And they used to brought me the most out of all my brothers and sisters. And then I went to, my sister Judy was born here. They had no PA over there, so my mom had to come over in September, and we didn't go back till the following May. So I went to the full first grade here also, in the old school.
Yeah, the one that was right here.
Yeah,
yeah.
The three-story building.
I remember that.
Yeah, me too, remember that building.
Yep, and I remember you being here too.
And going to the two movie theaters they had here. I remember that. See one, sometime one start earlier than the other, and get this one get done, we run down to the other one.
Well, Seabreeze and Irish Theater, son, yeah.
And then all these coffee shops had like six of them here.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 6 coffee shops and 1 ice cream shop. The ice cream shop was run by my grandma.
When you, your grandma. Oh, yeah, Matushka. Yeah. Matushka was with right down here. When you came here, where did you stay?
At times we stayed with my grandma, and then I had an aunt living here because she married a guy from here, Kirchkin, Victor Kirchkin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Her name was Sophie. So that's where we stayed when I was going to first grade here.
Okay. And you stayed September through May.
Yeah.
Those times boats weren't traveling as...
Yeah, because she was born in January, and because of the weather and ice around, you know, no boat till May.
Mm. Set you up to live here eventually.
Yeah. My whole working career has been here.
Yeah.
Never really worked in St. George. It's always been here.
Mm.
Even when government phased out, I thought I'd be packing up and leaving, because they had, up in the rec hall, they had like a workshop there where everybody could go up there and sign up for all the entities they wanted to work for. I never did that. I was going to pack up and head for Anchorage. But
that was early 80s.
Yeah, 83, when government phased out. But Scordino got hold of TDX, because TDX was going to run the sealing plant. That one only lasted 2 years because no more seals now. Got shut down. But Scordino was telling TDX, you need to hire me, Jason, because he could run your plant for you. You know how all the operation goes. So that's how come I got hired by TDX.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that for 2 summers, ran sealing. Then it was shut down.
And you stayed in the winter?
Yeah. They gave me a full-time job after that yet.
Okay.
So I worked for them for 3 years. And then City came up to me and asked me to work for them. So I said, yeah, let me give my 2 weeks. So I gave 2 weeks and then moved over to City.
Where was the TDX office then?
Trident building that they use for their people there, right across from the store.
Oh, so they were there for a while.
Yeah, that was her office.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. That's right, the annex, now they call it.
Yeah, that's what it's called, I forgot.
Huh. And they were there from those 2 years?
3 years I worked for them.
Okay. And then when you went to work for the city, was the city up here at that time?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
They even helped demolish those ceiling plant buildings under government and put up that Anderson building. We were building it right over a lot of the buildings.
Yeah. Remember that. I always felt bad about that, especially seeing St. George has that only seal plant now on this planet.
Yeah.
Where did you live those times?
With Upland and John.
Okay.
For a couple years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I lucked out with the house I'm in now. That was on market for a while. No one ever tried for it, so me and my wife tried for it. Then we got the loan.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the bank that we dealt with said, we're the only bank that give loans to the Bush, and you guys are the first people to get a loan in St. Paul.
Oh, wow. Which bank was it?
NBA, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Now it's Fargo's.
Yeah. Huh.
So that, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You and Alicia got married. When did you get married?
92.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I was with her for a while before I asked her. I didn't plan it.
Yeah.
That was cool. I went on a business trip to San Francisco for City. And when I went to a mall, I saw Ring Place, Benbridge. So I decided to go there and buy a ring. That lady was making me feel good. She was so excited for me. And my wife happened to go to... I was in Anchorage when I was coming back, so I took her out to dinner and proposed.
Nice.
So I did everything like the old fashioned.
That's pretty nice. Yeah. I think about her and how involved she was with the radio station, and yeah, she was good at that. When you were a kid growing up in St. George, or maybe even here, because you were 16 when you were like over here too, you had people you look up to. You had the elders. Who were the elders on St. George that you recall the times with?
Yeah, you see a lot of them come to my parents' place, you know. Larry, Philomona, Victor Velmansky, Maguga, Alvin, you know, Lesnikoff, Turnton Recording, Andronic Cashfair. I worked with him in church.
Mm.
I was an altar boy. One of my grandpa was a priest there for 2 years, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I say I learned from him in Andronic and Christopher Malvansky.
Yeah.
And then we used to watch elders next door to us form a bluegrass band and play music. It would be loud, so I just stand outside and watch or listen.
Who were they?
Victor Lesnikoff, Vicky, they call Vicky. Yeah, he's one with Boris, Jackie. Sometime I see Alvin.
Baku, and then my dad. Not Baku, but Alvin Lesnikoff?
Yeah. And my dad. Once I was there too. But yeah, they play real loud Friday nights. Well, it was cool to see that.
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever saw that. I never see anybody do that again.
When you were a child on St. George, did they have still have movies in the rec hall?
Yeah.
Would they be daily or nightly, or how did that work?
Yeah, Monday through Friday.
Mm.
Yeah. We had a bunch of them come in on a cargo boat. And then they store them in a cool, dry place, concrete bunker, kept it cool.
Mm.
And then they have movie. Sometimes, you know, they show it 5 days a week, but sometimes they do a rerun right away before they show another.
Did people pay to go to the movies?
I remember, what did it cost me? 50 cents to get in?
Mm.
In the late 60s, early 70s? Late 60s.
Hmm.
And then my dad was, what do you call that? Someone that worked with programs, director, like, you know, 4th of July, Christmas, Halloween, all that. He's the one that worked and helped set those up. But that's what my dad did for a lot of years.
Saint George, then even with the
movie theater, he was the one that helped get the guys going and oversee them running the projectors. And those were 35mm projectors, the big ones. The films were real wide, you know, compared to 16.
I wonder how long the showing movies in the theater, I mean in the rec hall, and I don't even know this, I never asked my dad if there was another rec hall before that one that is there now. Do you ever hear anything?
No.
Because my dad said that when they were boys they would watch movies too. And I think he said in the rec hall, but I don't know if that was a different location, because that would be like 1920s maybe. And he said that him and Yaitop, they used to sit and watch, and it was the black and white silent movies. So they would have the words come on, and he said they used to put their heads down. And I said, why? He says, we didn't want to read. We didn't know how to read, so we didn't want to look at it. But Kula, Nikolai Merkulyev, was the translator, and he would tell people in Aleut what's being said. The movies were translated to everybody in Aleut.
I used to understand it real good, but after I left home, I don't know it anymore.
Yeah.
But because, you know, my parents speak it all the time. They never used English.
Yeah.
It was 100% Aleut between each other.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I've always noticed when I first started working here, how much English these elders use. I couldn't believe that. Over there was 100% Aleut. All the people my mom and dad's age,
mm-hmm.
they all talk to each other just strictly Aleut.
Mm.
You know, I was surprised even as old as Alicia's grandparents were, they had a lot of English.
Yeah. But probably had a lot of English influence here soon.
I never could speak it, but I did understand it real good, mm-hmm. but I don't anymore.
Yeah. That was more than I could say. I didn't even understand it when my parents were speaking.
I always say, I have poor English. Why would I want to learn Aleut right now? Everywhere I go, it's English. And my English is poor.
Mine got poorer as I'm learning Aleut. I was like to remember hearing Mary B. Like when we go in her house, she comes in and she goes, "On it." She wants you to turn on, like, "On it."
But my eighth grade year graduation, my speech was for that graduated. We all did it in Aleut.
Mm.
We had to learn our speech in Aleut. So we're the first group. Ariadna's one that taught us.
Oh,
her
nice.
And Fanny Marculio.
Who were your fellow graduates?
Smiley, Shirley, and Anita.
Okay.
All girls, just the four of us, yes. Okay. Anita McCoy of Shirley Philmont and Smiley Lesnikoff.
Yeah. That's cool.
We had a good artist over there, too. They got drawing of us on the stage, too. So I always have that in picture. I took a picture of that, saved it.
Who was the artist?
Peggy Grather.
Huh.
She was an excellent artist. And her husband was a photographer, so I used to go to him for help on, because the school over had a photography class, so I did that for 3 years, develop our own black and white. They used 35 millimeters.
And this was before eighth grade.
Yeah, that was sixth, seventh, and eighth grade when I did that.
Yeah.
And at the time, too, we were doing, we started maybe in seventh grade, if not sixth, Arts and Craft, Aleut Arts and Craft, we started.
With Ariadna.
Yeah. And we got that artist to help us also. Mm.
Nice. Where did you go to high school?
Mount Edgecombe. Yeah, my dad really pushed for that because they were trying to get us to go to school here. And he didn't want us. He said, up here is like St. George, so he wanted us to see someplace. And Marie Fraser is the one that really helped push, got us to go out. You know, they gave us choice, Edgecombe, Chamorro, maybe Wrangell too, I think. And I'm not sure if that one up north was open at the time too.
The Galeno one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that it was. All four of you went to Mount Edgecombe?
No. Three of us did. Anita Merkulov and her family moved to Anchorage and then she went to school there.
Oh.
Yeah, early 70s, just before high school, that summer, I believe, 75, they moved out.
Mm. All 4 years you went to Mount Edgecombe?
Yeah.
And then after high school, you came back?
Yeah, oh, actually, after high school, when I was working that summer of 79, I got a call from my schooling in Seattle, so I went down there. Everything was last minute. They say, hey, you have to be down here, leave tomorrow. So I was still working for government. Then I packed up and just left next day.
Wow. From St. George?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After we got done with the sealing operation, we went back over there. And then they let us finish, you know. It was kind of like start laying us off in September.
Hmm.
So I was one of the lucky ones to work a little bit longer.
You, when you would come over, it was on the ships. And when did you, when you went to high school, did you?
It was plane.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember when kids from St. George would come here on the boat and stay here in the hotel before they would leave.
I did that too, actually.
Yeah. You did that before?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, stay here 2 days, 3 days sometimes.
Yeah. What grade was Susan Melovansky in? Was she like just a bit older?
Yeah, she's maybe like 2 years older than me.
Okay. I remember for some reason when she and, I don't know if it was Barbara Berkulia.
Yeah, Barbara.
The age group coming over and hanging out with them on St. Paul versus on St. George. Yeah. And they stayed in the hotel. Did you stay in the hotel?
Yeah.
The old one?
Mm-hmm.
They had the kitchen in there then.
Yeah.
So you could have meals in the kitchen. Yeah. I like that you were talking about what you did as 6th, 7th, 8th graders. And it feels like that was happening when I was here as well. We had Ludie, Doris, we were doing crafts, and we weren't in high school. And I feel like we don't do that enough with the kids in those middle school grades with the hands-on shop or those types of activities. Seems like that's when they're going to pick it up. Seems like we try to wait for high school, and it's best if you start them when they're middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. They're more, I want to try that.
Actually, I would say it's younger. Kids at 5, 6 years old, they're ones that learn and remember faster.
Yeah.
Younger they are, the more they absorb.
Yeah. Phil has sharp knives in the kitchen, and he's teaching Micah and Lula to be his sous chef. They're like holding the knife very carefully and chopping carrots. And we gave them knives for reindeer hunting for Christmas presents, so we better teach them how to use knives right at first. Micah opens his present, and it's a knife, and he cut himself like right after he opened it. We were getting a Band-Aid within a minute of after he opened his present. Did you have maybe favorite classes? Were those it sounds like photography?
Yeah, as soon as I got in. Well, actually, I got involved before they had that class because of my dad. My dad used to talk about photography because he worked with Dan and Lala, or
mm-hmm.
I'm sure
Nikolai.
Nikolai Mercurio, if they had a dark room.
His uncles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had in their basement.
I didn't
so
know.
So that's how come I got
in the house that was Anana and Uncle Dan were in.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's how come I think I got interested in because of that, hearing what he talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had those old Polaroid from the 50s, and it still works today.
Wow. You have it?
No, James has, but I think I was the last one to use it. I don't know if I could still find film for it. I always wanted
to. I bet you could.
Check around and see if I could find film.
Yeah.
But that was last time. 75 is the last time we found film.
You have pictures. How are you storing all your pictures you've been taking?
My 35, I just have them in the envelopes and packed up. Right now, they're all packed up. They're not out anymore. I had them normally like on a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And then another 20,000 is in fold albums. And then rest is digital now.
Mm. You keep your negatives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people, or somebody was trying to ask me, I said, no, those stays with me.
Yeah.
Even with digital now, people send, I say, send me the email. I said, no, I kind of like sell my picture. So if you want it, I have to give you as print.
Yeah.
Not the original, email.
Yeah.
That's all. That deadliest catch, North Sea coming to harbor in 2009. That's my picture.
Mm.
Pacific Fishing Magazine in Seattle had a nationwide photo contest. It had to be fishing related. So people from all over the country were sending pictures, and I sent that one.
Oh, good.
And that one won first place.
Cool.
So it gave me 2 round trip tickets anywhere Alaska Airlines flew.
Where'd you go?
I took the family to Hawaii.
Oh, nice.
Hawaii and Seattle.
So if we were to tell people now if they want photographs to see you, if they want to purchase, you would do that?
I don't know about now, because like I said, I have a lot of my stuff packed, because I want to try to move.
Mm.
but cost of living out there, I mean, the housing out there is ridiculous now.
Yeah.
That's kind of what's holding me here.
Yeah.
It I was always been mean when I first met my wife. Said, when I retire, let's move. She always said, yeah, but not back to Seattle. So I said, how about Anchorage? And she always said, sure, after I retired.
Yeah. Still thinking about Anchorage as a place.
My kids don't want it. They keep saying Palmer.
Yeah.
It gets cheaper and cheaper the further you get away from Anchorage.
Well, now.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. There's a lot of people moving there now.
Yeah.
But everything happens in Anchorage. You know, all the events year-round that go there, always, me and my wife always check them out.
Yeah.
So we liked it.
Yeah.
And then, like 3 years before I retired, I talked with a native hospital out there. I wanted to work with their electrical maintenance. I was talking to the boss man. He was telling me, sign up. So, but it never happened because I never moved.
Mm.
So I don't know if I could still get in. They might say, you're too old now. No.
It's like, I'm not old.
Yeah, you know, everybody know. Being around Brandy, she does dog agility, and all the people there are retired older ladies. And so I meet them all and all around them. They always call me a kid because they're all older than me. But that would be cool. I like that.
When my parents moved to Seattle, my brother was telling them, my brother Nick, about different activities for senior citizens in Ballard, and there was a senior citizen center not far from where they live, and Nick told them, there's going to be a dance, you should go check out the dance, you always like to go to dances. And the next week when he saw them, he's like, so how was that dance? We didn't like it, there's only old people there. And he was like, you guys are old. It's like, yeah, but on St. Paul, there's people of all ages there. We don't want to just hang around with old people.
That's how I got to know all the elders up here, because of my folks. You know,
yeah.
I come over and with them. So I got to meet all the elders.
So they knew you already.
Yeah. So it was good even better when I started working with them in the 70s.
Yeah. So you tell us about when you were like blubbering skins, like numbers of skins, and how when you started, everybody probably worked on setting up the plant first before blubbering, or everybody kind of joined in on that?
Yeah, they had, each department of that plant had a little bit different crews, and then those guys that did blubbering, we had to kind of like wait, so we helped out everywhere, helped set up, like, you know, like the washhouse, bringing in the skins. They have a crew for that. And then they had to go through a group of ladies cutting off the ears. Then they go through the machine. And then then it comes to us guys at the blubbering. And they had like 3 or 4 ladies bringing it, the skins to us, hanging it on the rail. And we just grab it off and blubber.
But before, like, when like a plant was shut down for the winter, by the time you were blubbering, it was someone, there were people that like open it up and get
yeah
water.
Most of that was set up before we came over.
Oh, okay.
We just helped out on some, not as much, but they did a lot of it before we got here, setting it up.
Hmm. What about shutting it down?
Yeah, they did that too. They had different crew. I mean, we helped with a lot of it. You know, we didn't do it totally because we were gone before they did that too, shut it down.
When you were blubbering, there were people that lived here were blubbering along with the St. George boys?
It's just, it's locals. You guys from St. George are here. Only 5 of us were blubbering at the time. You know, they're only getting 1,500 to 4,000 seals a day. And then it declined as the years go on.
Mm. So the time that, like you said, 18 of you or so came over, everybody did different things.
Yeah. Like my brother Richie, who did the wash house, soaking the skins and bring them in to the machine. And a few other guys, like they're out in the field. Most of us were down in the plant. Well, I think only 2 guys from St. George did the field work.
Hmm.
And then the rest of us down in the plant. blubbering or boxing.
When did you come over? Like, not in May. Was it in May or June?
June. Yeah, middle of June.
And then it would go until into August.
August, yeah. Mid-August.
Mm-hmm. You ever tally how much you blubber?
Yeah, they always keep track of that. I always tell them, hey, if you guys paid us by the skin, I'd be rich today. Yeah, I don't know why. They've always kept track. And the one thing that caught my eye, Scordino is the one that told me that. He said, they talk about Cyril McCulloch in St. George. He was one of the best. And he was averaging 25 skins an hour with the full blubber. And we do that here, too. They let us do 500 to 1,000 because they use that blubber for, they want it straight blubber without water, because if they go through machines, it adds too much water. So they want it straight blubber without water. So we have to do, you know, so much by hand all the time. And they put that aside, and that's what they use for tanning with the skins. So they had to keep it separate from the machine. So, but anyway, when we did it like that by hand, too, I was averaging 52 an hour.
Oh, wow.
No one else came close. Everybody else was in their 20s also.
Wow.
So I was shocked. Scordino is the one that told me that. I said, man, you're just blowing everybody away. It's because by, you know, second, third hour, everybody's getting burnt out, tired. Not me. I'm still going strong. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I always think the part of it is because of my height. I adjust my beam. I never see anybody adjust their beam. So it makes it harder for blubbering. You got to have it, you know, right at your hip, like, or waist.
Yeah.
You know, other guys are too high or too low.
Is it blubbering way up here?
Yeah.
Because
if you're blubbering, you know, if your machine's not set right, you're doing most of your blubbering with your arms. But if your machine is set right, you're using your whole body.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
You should make a exercise machine. We call it the blubbering machine. And it could be twofold. You're exercising all your blubber.
I know. I always tell my sister June, you see that exercise with those ropes? And I tell her, I did that for 29 years. She'd look at me crazy. In the harbor, I'm grabbing those ropes, pulling the lines in, especially from the barges and cargo boat. They're like, you know, 75 feet pulling. And those hawsers are big, you know. So I tell her, see, I'm doing that already, naturally. Yeah, that's how long I worked in the harbor.
Yeah.
29 years.
Oh, tell us about that.
I was the first guy they hired down there.
For harbor master.
Yeah. I worked there 3 months by myself. And then Dennis and Andre got on. But I did it for 3 months alone.
What was the time frame when you became the harbor master?
Oh, when harbor opened in 1990 after the dedication.
So it was 1990 that it was the dedication happened. Big
August
celebration.
4th, yeah, August 4th, they had a big celebration. Yeah, of all the news people, Coast Guard people from CL office, you know, agents, government, all that.
Yeah, I still have a coaster from that.
Yeah, me
too.
It has
coffee stains all
over. Oh. Even the flag that they hanged on, I got that too yet. I took one off.
Wow. So the
just like the sealing operation too. You know where a pew stick is?
Is that for
picking up the carcass?
Oh, no.
Sticker, one a pole with just a poker on it. Or
is that for byproducts plant?
No. Or? When they're picking up carcasses after they skin them, you know how they lay out the carcasses?
Yeah.
Then they pick them up and then dump them.
Okay.
You
never paid attention to that part.
Yeah. I got one of those, the real oak club.
Mm. Could you take pictures of those things?
And what do you call them? What they call that bar?
The stripper?
For the rippers?
Yeah.
Yeah, the bar. I have that too.
Wow.
The ripper? Yeah, yeah. I have that too. The barrel rim tool?
Yeah.
To knock down the
rims on the
rims
barrels.
On the barrels. Yeah, I got that tool for that too.
Yeah.
And skinning knife and sticker knife.
If you took pictures of those, That would be really cool to have them, and we would pay.
That first year I blubbered, I tell Feeding Scordino, my blubbering, I said, this is coming with me. I tell him, I'll bring it back next year. I tell him, I like this knife, it's going to stay with me. You know, every year everybody go pick what they want. Not me, right away I took mine with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I still got it today.
Wow.
So, souvenir.
With the, first I thought you were talking about when you were blubbering the skins for the blubber they don't want water in. I think your sister Aplun was one of the folks that would take that fat and put it in a wheelbarrow. Is that the fat that was being kept for
To
send out?
Yeah, they salt it, let it stay there all summer.
Mm.
Yeah, we did them both ways, by hand and by machine. When it once that go through machine, I was averaging 109 an hour.
Mm.
Yeah, I was one of the, like I said, Scordino is the one that told me that. They kept records all the way back. He said, we're the best you ever seen.
Mm. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool when he told me that.
Whatever happened to that machine? Was that machine still there when you started, when they were building Anderson, building over?
Yeah.
And did it burn in the fire?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
They lost, everything.
Yeah. I never understood what was all in that, in the Anderson building, like after that got built over everything. Like what did it look like inside there? I think some of the walls were still up.
Actually, no. We took all that down. Even the machines were removed.
Huh.
Yeah, it became a total, like a warehouse after. After TDX did it for 2 years, and then, after that, everything was removed.
Hmm. Did they store it somewhere?
That I know. I don't even know where they took down those stuff.
Because all of the beams, the blubber beams, everything was dismantled as well?
Yeah, everything was removed. It became just a total warehouse, and then they rented out to Trident after.
Hmm.
Or actually Unipac first, I think.
Mm-hmm.